So this morning, I want to get into the Word real briefly. If you have your Bible, however you access it, we're just going to read one single scripture. You could probably quote it by heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 1. This sermon or this message this morning is not a new message for me. I preached this message nearly 10 years ago. And as I studied for the service this morning, the Spirit of the Lord kept bringing back to my remembrance the thoughts or the sermon that I had preached many, many years ago. I wanted to move on to something else. By Thursday, Friday, somewhere in there, the Lord just simply would not let this go from my spirit. And I finally surrendered and said, okay, Lord, I will endeavor to do what you've laid on my heart. Amen. So I want to read Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 1, and the scripture says, cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. Cast your bread upon the water, and thou shalt find it. It'll return to you after many days. I'm going to title the message this morning, Biblical Boomerangs. Biblical Boomerangs. This morning, as I begin this message, I would just simply ask, how many of you know what a boomerang is? How many have ever thrown a boomerang? Maybe a few of us. I'm relatively certain that the majority of us know what a boomerang is. But for those of us that might not be familiar, and for the sake of those that might need a reminder, because we rarely have need of a boomerang in our culture, can you say amen? Amen. I will just simply tell you that a boomerang is of Australian origin. Originally, it was used as a weapon. It was used in hunting. It was used as a weapon. But as time passed and superior hunting skills and techniques evolved, the boomerang became more of a sport in Australia than used for hunting. It became more of, think in terms of you and I throwing a frisbee. It became more of a sport than for hunting. And the object of the boomerang is when it is thrown, and when it is properly thrown, it follows a singular curve or a line, and then it returns back to the one that threw it. It returns back to the hand of the thrower. In the simplest of terms, when you throw a boomerang, it returns unto you. And just out of curiosity this morning, how many of you know what a boomerang that does not return to you is called? A stick. If you were here last week and you heard Brother Chuck's message, then you know to his dog that means fetch. Right? Amen. Now, and that has nothing to do with my sermon. It's just, you know, I mean, for future reference, if you want to check that out, just, you know. But I got to thinking about this, the actions of the boomerang and how that they return to the thrower. The actions are associated and have become associated with a figure of speech. The term boomerang has become, amen, a characterization of actions. Something that goes out today and returns tomorrow. Like our text, cast your bread upon the water, and after many days, it will return to you. Now, how many of you know that that scripture has to be an image or a picture? Because when you throw bread on the water, it gets mushy and it sinks, right? But the writer is saying that he had lived long enough, that he had lived long enough to know that there are some principles with God. He said, I've lived long enough to understand that when I cast my bread upon the water, and when I am generous in my giving, and when I give, then I've learned that it will come back to me. It will return back to me. In fact, the Bible tells us several things that are much like a boomerang. The Bible tells us this morning, amen, that there are several things that have a boomerang effect. There are certain biblical principles that when we apply those principles and we apply those certain biblical principles to our life, we can expect something in return. This morning, I want to talk about four biblical boomerangs. Four biblical boomerangs that will always come back to us. The first biblical boomerang is the boomerang of sin. The boomerang of sin. Let me just tell you this morning that sin will always have repercussions. Sin will always have an effect upon our lives. Let me just tell you today that the enemy would love for all of us to think that we could dabble in sin and not be affected by it. How many of you know the enemy is a liar? The devil would like for all of us to think nothing more, to believe that we could trifle with sin and yet never suffer the consequences of sin. But we need to understand this morning that sin will always separate us from fellowship with our God. Sin will always have repercussions, and sin will always bring sorrow and condemnation into our life. How many examples in God's word do we have of individuals that have played with sin and came up on the short side of things? Let me give you some examples this morning. How many of you remember reading in the book of Joshua, the 6th chapter, about a man named Achan? The Bible said that they were commanded before they went in to take the city of Jericho, they were commanded to remain silent as they marched. They were commanded to shout on the 7th time around. And then they were commanded that God would bring down the walls, but they were told not to partake of the accursed thing. They were told that all of the gold and all of the silver and everything that they took of the spoil of the city of Jericho, that it belonged unto the Lord. They were commanded not to partake of it, not to take of it, but bring it into the Lord's storehouse. And Achan saw, the Bible says, a wedge of gold and 200 shekels of silver and a Babylonian garment, and he couldn't resist. He had to take it for himself. He was literally being disobedient unto God so that he could have a little silver, a little gold, and a Babylonian garment. And he took it and hid it in the midst of his tent. And he thought that he got away with it. How many of you know oftentimes we fall into sin and we think that we have gotten away with it? I have news for you. God knew where the gold was. He knew where the silver was buried. He knew where the Babylonian garment was tucked away. If you continue reading through the sixth and the seventh chapter of the book of Joshua, you will understand that Achan did not get away with his sin. He did not get away with being disobedient unto God. Amen. I mean, God knew all about it. Gehazi thought he could run after Naaman, the man that had been cured of leprosy, and take what the prophet had refused to take. But God saw Gehazi do it. And you know the end of the story of Gehazi. He ended up with Naaman's leprosy. Samson thought that he could lay his head in the lap of the enemy and still live a victorious life. But Samson found out the hard way that you cannot trifle with sin and still come out on the victorious side of things. David thought that he could take another man's wife, have the man killed, and get away with it. But God saw every single thing that David did, and God wasn't about to let David get away with it. What I'm saying this morning is that you cannot play with fire and not get burnt. And you cannot trifle with sin and not have the stinging effects of sin. Listen to Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. The Bible says, be not deceived. That simply means don't fool yourself, Bubba. Hello? Be not deceived. Don't pull the wool over your eyes. Don't try to lie to yourself. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Because whatsoever a man sows, he says, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh of the flesh, he is going to reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, then of the Spirit, you are going to reap life everlasting. I came to tell somebody this morning that you cannot trifle with sin and get away with it. It is a biblical principle. It's like a boomerang. When you play with sin, it will come back at you. Job chapter 4 and verse 8. Job said, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow in wickedness shall reap the same. Hello? If you plow in wickedness and you sow in wickedness, Job said, you're going to reap the same. Hosea chapter 8 and verse number 7 said, they, sinful individuals, have sown the wind and they will reap the whirlwind. Numbers chapter 32 and verse number 23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. Ain't no hiding it. You may think you got it tucked away. You may think that it's somewhere in secret, but I assure you, God knows all about it. You cannot play with sin and get away with it. We dare not this morning play with the boomerang of sin, for it will come back upon us and we will reap the consequences of our actions. Yes, thank God there is forgiveness. Yes, thank God there is repentance. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God that his grace is sufficient. Thank God that his mercy endures forever. Thank God that when we call upon the name of the Lord with a repenting heart, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. But I want you to understand something. You may have to live with the consequences. Oh, yes, he's faithful to forgive, but you just may have to deal with the consequences. Samson had to deal with the consequences. Achan had to deal with the consequences. Amen. You hear what I'm saying this morning? David had to deal with the consequences of it all. So number one, the first biblical boomerang that I want to point out to you this morning is the boomerang of sin. Don't trifle with sin. Don't be throwing the boomerang of sin, because it will come right back at you. Number two, the second biblical boomerang is the boomerang of generosity. The boomerang of generosity. And when I speak this morning of the boomerang of generosity, I want you to understand that I am not just talking about money. Yes, we should be generous with our finances toward the Lord, but I am not just talking about money, because being generous is not just about money. Hello? We can be generous in many ways. I intend to show you that. I'm talking about being generous with our time, being generous with our talents, being generous with our compassion and our kind-heartedness toward others, being generous with our love and our mercy toward others, being generous by withholding our judgment against others. Hello? Being generous by withholding our judgment against others, because I came to tell somebody this morning that what you throw out there is going to come right back at you. It's going to come right back to you. Pastor Gary, can you show me scripture for that? I can. Turn to Luke chapter 6. I want you to read it with me. Luke chapter 6, verse 36 through verse 38. I'm going to read the God's Words translation. This is what it says. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Verse 37. Stop judging and you will never be judged. Don't throw the boomerang of judgment at somebody else, and you won't have it returning back to you. Hello? Stop judging and you will never be judged. Stop condemning and you will never be condemned. Don't be throwing the boomerang of condemnation. How many of you know this morning that it is awful easy to identify the problems in somebody else's life, and it's awful easy for us to sit in judgment and think of what they should do and how they should act and how they should live and all that kind of, and just point a bony finger and look down our nose at them because they don't do it like we do it. Well, Jesus said, stop that. Stop judging. Stop condemning. Stop looking down your nose at them. They are not your servant. They belong to God. Hello? He says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give. And everybody goes, oh, here's the money verse. This is not just talking about money. He was just talking about judging and talking about being merciful and talking about being forgiving. This verse, yes, it's talking about giving of our finances, but it's talking about giving of our mercy and giving of our love and our forgiveness. He says, give and you will receive. How many of you ever stand in need of mercy? How many of you have ever stood in need of grace and forgive it? I have. Well, he's saying if you want to be forgiven and you want to receive mercy and you want to, amen, be blessed, then just stop giving out condemnation and stop giving out judgment and stop giving out a merciless spirit, because if you give, you will receive. Amen. He says, a large quantity pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men or will others put into your pocket? And the King James says, for with what measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. The God's Word translation says it this way, and I love it. It says, the standards you use for others will be applied to you. Hello? The same standard that you use for others is going to be applied to you. In other words, it is a boomerang effect. When you are generous with your time and then you have need of someone else's time, you're going to receive a generous heaping of their time, because you will reap what you sow. If you this morning, amen, need mercy and you have been merciful, you're going to receive mercy, because you are going to reap what you have sowed. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. Well, I don't know about you, but when I blow it and I am in need of mercy, I want to receive mercy. Right? When I blow it and I am in need of grace, I want to receive God's grace. And I would love to have some grace from others. They go, yep, I've been there too. I understand. Hello? Then be merciful. Be graceful. Give, forgive. Give of your time, give of your talents, give of your riches and your love and your tender heart and your compassion. Be generous toward others. Give and it shall be given unto you, because giving has a boomerang effect. Being generous with God and with others. Being generous in every area of our life, and be generous in our service and our gifts and our talents and our kindness, and be generous in the support for the work of the ministry, because when we give and we are generous, then God will be generous toward us. And I have scripture to show that. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 25. And this is again the God's Word translation. It says, a generous person will be made rich, and whosoever satisfies others will be satisfied himself. Amen. A generous person will be made rich. Now, how can you be generous and give away and still collect and gather? Because you cast your bread upon the water, and after many days, it's going to come back to you. It is a biblical boomerang. You give and you put it in gear. It shall be given unto you. Proverbs 22:9 says, whosoever is generous will be blessed, because he shared his portion with the poor. Psalms 41 and verse number 1 said, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in his time of trouble. I like that. Amen. If I have trouble and I've been generous, then the Lord is on my side. Hello? What happens if I ain't been generous? Well, I may not have the confidence that the Lord is on my side. Right? But the scripture says, blessed is he that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver that individual in his time of trouble. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your substance, and that means everything that is within you. Honor the Lord with your substance and with your first fruits of all of your increase, and so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and your wine presses shall burst out with new wine. What I'm saying this morning is that when you sow, God will see to it that you receive a harvest. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. If I got 20 acres and I plant 1 acre in corn, I am not going to reap 20 acres worth of corn. It's just a fact. Can you say amen? But if I've sown the whole 20 acres, I can expect the whole 20 acres to come up with something. Amen? That's what I'm saying this morning. Be generous. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm saying be generous with your time and your talents and your gift. Aaron has helped individuals right here in our congregation with automotive issues. There have been those that have helped individuals that have moved and all sorts of things. We're to be generous with our time. We're to be generous with our talent. We are to look after one another. We are to serve one another. We are to love one another. And we are to help one another. And when we do, brother, when it comes first, full circle, somebody will be there to help you. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11:24 said, one person gives freely and yet grows richer, grows more blessed, while yet another holds back what he owes. And he gets poorer in doing so. What the scripture is teaching, bottom line here, is don't be a stingy Steve. No offense, Brother Steve. Yeah. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? Don't be stingy. Don't be so self-centered and self-motivated that you can't be a blessing to somebody else. And understand that when you are, when you give, when you bless others, when you bless them with your time and your talent and your gifts and all of the things that you can bless others with, your love and your kindness and your mercy, when you throw that out there, it's going to come back to you. We just need to make sure that we're throwing the right boomerang. We need to make sure that we're applying the right biblical principles to our life. Number three, the third biblical boomerang is the boomerang of proclamation, what I call the boomerang of proclamation. What do you mean by that, Pastor Gary? I mean that you and I have a responsibility to share the good news of the gospel with others. And when we share our witness and our testimony, and we share the good news of Jesus Christ, it will have results and it will have an effect in someone else's life. I'm talking this morning about shining our light and sharing with others. There is a mentality that has crept into the church world in the last 10 years or so. There is a mentality that has crept into the church world that goes something like this. Well, they know where we are, and if they want what we got, they know where to find us. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. The scripture said that we are to go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come into the house of God. And God forbid that we ever have an opportunity to witness about Jesus Christ and we keep our lip buttoned. They will only be able to respond to what they hear. And they will only hear what we share with them. Somebody said, I get tired of inviting folks to church. Don't ever get tired of inviting folks to church. I get tired of witnessing to people about Jesus and see no result. Don't ever get tired of witnessing to people. Share your faith. Share the good news. Share the fact that Jesus Christ has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Share the good news that he's written our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one day he's coming soon to receive his unto himself. Share the good news of the gospel. You may not win them all, but I'm going to tell you this morning, according to the word of God, his word will not return void. And it will accomplish that which it is sent to accomplish. A Christian that doesn't seek to win souls and share the good news of the gospel is like a fireman that never shows up to put out the fire. like a patrolman that never leaves the donut shop. Hello? You know, I look over here at Bob and it looks like he has never eaten a donut in his life, right? So I don't know why we give patrol officers a bad time about eating donuts. I had somebody say to me the other day, would you like a donut? And I went, yes, I would love a donut. To be truthful, I'd love about six of them. But I'm not going to indulge in any of it. My wife and I, we were over in Boise. We were over in Boise late one evening, and we stopped there on Eagle Road at Red Robin. Went in and had a bite of dinner, and we came out. And I don't know, in my mind, you can almost see like the cartoon, you know, the smell comes whiffing through the... When I walked out of Red Robin, I could smell Krispy Kreme. I mean, it was almost like it grabbed my nose, and I'm like, sweet Jesus, I'm not even hungry, and that smells so good. Hello? But I'm saying this morning that, amen, it is natural for a Christian to want to share the good news about Jesus. It comes easy for me because he's done so much for me. Amen. I want to tell people about his love. I want, because he loved me when I was unlovable. I want to tell people about his goodness and his grace and his mercy. I want them to know the same reality of Christ that has come into my heart. Share the good news of the gospel, and it will have an effect in their life. It will have, you may never see the effects. I've shared this testimony with others. When I gave my heart to the Lord, I walked away from the music entertainment industry. And I came to the Lord, and I wasn't going to go back to the worldly side of music. And I just said, okay, well, the money that I made quit coming in, and so on and so on. And I was trying to find something to make a living for my family. I knew a little bit of construction work, but in the early 1980s, they weren't building anything around Idaho. And so I couldn't find any work. I mean, I even shaved my beard off one time to fill in for a guy at Burns Brothers truck stop so I could clean toilets and showers just for 2 weeks while he was on vacation. I was willing to do whatever I could do, but I couldn't find any work. Finally, I went to work at the Jim County Weed Control. I know how to kill your weeds. It's true. And I learned some things that are applicable to God's word. I learned, for instance, that morning glory seed can remain in the ground for up to 100 years and never germinate. That's fascinating. And then something comes along, they run a disc across it, there's a fire, something comes along that disturbs the soil. And after 100 years of that seed laying dormant in the ground, it germinates. You know, the scripture is much like that. The seed is the word of God. And God didn't call us to bring results. He just called us to plant seeds. Understand that. He never called us to cause the seed to germinate, cause the seed to be productive. He didn't call us to do any of that. That's his job. All he asked us to do is plant the seed. And I've planted seeds in my ministry that were planted 30 years ago, and it looked like they had no effect whatsoever. And then something come along in that person's life, and they came to me and said, I remember what you said way back then, preacher, and I remembered how you said that Jesus, amen, would save, and I remembered, amen, the things that you planted into my spirit and into my heart, and I called on the name of the Lord, and now I'm saved. Amen. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Plant the seeds of the good news of the gospel, and at some point it will come back to you. Psalms 126, verse number 6 said, he that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall come, doubtlessly shall come again, rejoicing and bringing his harvest with him. Who's to go forth? You and I are to go forth. What is the seed? The seed is the word of God. And what is the promise? That when we go forth bearing precious seed, and God's word is precious, when we plant that seed, there will come a day and there will come a time when it boomerangs right back to us and we realize the harvest of what we have planted. Never be weary in well-doing, in planting your witness and the seed of God's word in someone's heart. The fourth biblical boomerang that I want to talk about this morning is the boomerang of service. The boomerang of service. Many of us, if I asked for a show of hands, many of us would be willing to slip up our hand. How many of you want to be great in the kingdom of God? We all desire to do great things for the kingdom of God. Well, let me just tell you that greatness equals servanthood. Greatness equals servant. Same principle applies to, you know, the same principle applies to being humble to be exalted. That's scripture. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Greatness will come out of anything but servanthood. If you want to do something great for the kingdom of God, learn how to serve. Learn how to serve. Well, we like that great part. We're not so keen on that serve part. What do you mean, serve? Amen. Listen, I'm just telling you how it works. I'm going to give you a scripture for it. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 11. Jesus said, "But he that is great among you shall be servant to all." He that is great among you shall be servant to all. In the book of Matthew and in other places, he said, "He who will be great among you will be minister unto you." For the Son of Man, he says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give himself for others. In other words, Jesus said, "I didn't come to be served, I came to serve." And in that service, he is exalted. I need you to understand this morning that greatness is only spawned out of servanthood. Serve one another with love. And remember that your service unto the Lord comes with a great reward. I've known different preachers down through the years. I remember one dear preacher that used to say, "Well, making a living as a preacher may not be the greatest, but the retirement benefits are out of this world." I'm like, you know, he's on to something there. There is a great reward for our sacrifice and our servanthood and our service unto the Lord. Luke chapter 12, verse number 42, Jesus said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over all his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find doing so. Of a truth." Now, listen, I'm not saying this is of a truth. Jesus said this is of a truth. "Of a truth," Jesus said, "I say unto you, that he, the Lord, will make him ruler over all that he has." I said our servanthood unto the Lord, our service unto the Lord has great reward. Has great reward. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let me just tell you this morning that when you serve the Lord with gladness, it is a biblical principle that you are going to reap a reward for that service. Jesus said these words in Revelation 22:12. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his works. Behold, he said, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Amen. Let me just put that in common language. Jesus said, I'm coming soon, and my checkbook is in my back pocket. Your reward is going to be great for your service unto the Lord. Keep throwing the right boomerang. It'll come back to you. It may take some time. The scripture we read as our text said, after many days, it may take some time. Paul said, be not weary in well-doing, for you'll reap in due season if you faint not. I got to quit. I'm looking at the clock. I got to quit. Biblical boomerangs, what are you throwing? Actions that are taken today that will return to us tomorrow. Are you throwing the right principles into your life, into your future? Are you looking forward to reaping what you are sowing? Hello? Well, that ought to make some of us just stop and think for a minute. Are you looking forward to reaping what you are currently sowing? Because if you ain't sowing the right kind of things, it's coming up. I don't care how hard you pray for crop failure. Hello? It's coming up. So what do we do, Brother Gary? We have to sow the right kind of things in order to get the right kind of harvest. Don't fool yourself. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If you're throwing the wrong kind of boomerangs into your future, stop. Stop. Start throwing the right kind of things, the right principles into your future, and the right principles will bring the right thing into your life. Bow your heads all over the building, if you would, please. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. All right, Lord, I have endeavored to do what you asked me to do. I have endeavored to speak, Lord, what you have asked me to share. And now I pray that your Holy Spirit would empower what has been spoken, cause it to be truth in our spirit, and cause us to have an understanding heart and an enlightened mind to what you have shared with us today. And Father, if we find that we have been throwing the wrong kind of boomerang into our future, the wrong kind of biblical principles into our future, then I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will cause us to cease those actions and to begin to cast forth the right principles and the things that will bring blessing and return blessing into our lives. Speak to our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you here this morning would be willing to just slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I've been throwing some of the wrong kind of boomerangs into my future. Yeah, hands there, hands there, hands there, and there, and there, and there, and there, and there. Hands lifted. Maybe you're here this morning and you would be willing to say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this message this morning. It encouraged my heart. If that's you, slip up your hand. Yes, yes, yes. Saints of God, don't be weary in doing what's right. Don't be weary in doing what's right. You say, yeah, but Pastor Gary, I'm not getting some of the results that I want. Just hang on. Just keep doing the right thing. It's not up to us to bring the results. We just need to be faithful to do the right thing. Holy Spirit will do the result part. Stand to your feet, if you will, all over the building. Hands have been lifted. Hands have been lifted. Slip up your hands this morning right toward heaven. Let me pray with you. Sweet Jesus, Lord, you have seen every hand that has been lifted. Lord, some of us have confessed that we have been throwing the wrong things into our future, and we are not too happy about some of the things that we're going to be reaping. Forgive us. Cleanse us, wash us, make us clean. And help us this morning, oh God, to begin to apply the right biblical principles so that our future, when we receive what we have sown, our future will bring blessing and life and good things back to us. For indeed we do believe that we will reap what we sow. Help us to sow those things that are good. Help us this morning, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for those that slipped up their hand and said, I was encouraged by the message this morning to continue. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will strengthen all of your people this morning. Encourage their hearts to continue to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. That we may reap in due season because we have not fainted along the way. Touch every heart, touch every life, minister to each need this morning, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on and sing. Come on and sing.